Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Bobby Sapphire. It's 6:46 in the dang morning, and you're listening to KTOD Radio, Star Wars Unlimited competitive podcast. I'm here with the rest of the KTOD. Justin, you'll get tired, bro.
I'm tired, Mike. I'm tired. I went to bed at 1:30 watching these PQ finals. Oh, my God. I just wake up. I wake up in the morning for Star Wars Unlimited. I go to bed with Star Wars Unlimited.
Maddie, you were not in bed at 1:30. I think you stopped responding to DMs maybe around like 9:15.
Yeah, I was in bed at 8 o'clock. I had dreams that DZ won it all. I know. I woke up, like, checked my phone, and my dreams were incorrect, but he had a great run. I went to bed early, got a nice sleep for this pod, waking up with a little bit of pumpkin spice cold brew latte. Let's go. Fall is here, boys.
Oh, PSLs, baby. They're back. Yeah,
PSLs. And excited to talk some SWU.
From the new spot, Steve's new house, newly engaged. What a life changer. What's up, Steve? And he froze. You can't beat it. Steve, we can hear you now.
Dude, I don't know what's going on with my freaking internet.
Everything's going great. Steve buys a house, gets engaged, and now he's just frozen in place. That's fine. Steve will bounce in and out. We're going to power through. You might notice that this podcast is now sponsored by MetalFabTokens.com. Our boy, B-Flow, is sponsoring the pod, might be sponsoring the team soon. He's the guy who made our proprietary K2D coins.
Got it right here, Mike. Steve designed. I already got it, baby.
I got mine. I also got – do you have my set of tokens? Because I was trying to find those, and I feel like I gave them to you or maybe Steve.
No, I have no tokens. When I play, I use poker chips.
I got the tokens.
Pieces okay, of cool. paper. Steve has them. I used a credit card once. You did. Like, I don't have tokens.
I'll just go to the slide that has
them. I
like
those tokens.
I'd love
them. Well, good. Because
I'm excited to be partnered.
A lot better than those.
I need tokens.
Pink ones you gave me.
Yeah, these tokens are fire. You've seen them on tables. The shield tokens especially are insane. They're on the screen right now if you're watching on YouTube. And so B-Flow's been really good to us. Obviously, he made our K2D coins for us. Actually, 650 more were delivered to my door by DHL, but refused to leave for no signature. So those should be coming again on Tuesday.
But I don't blame DHL. You don't want to get in trouble with the Imperial monetary board,
the imperial shipping department.
Good call, DHL.
So expect our podcast, each bi-weekly podcast, to be sponsored by MetalFab, and probably some stuff with the tournament testing team coming up soon.
I will say this, like, one of my favorite things
he's so mad he woke up.
Like, the cool thing too is, like, you can get the full set, or like you can just get the piecemeal stuff. Like, some of my favorite things, like, I mean, I like them all, obviously. We have the whole set, but like, just the Beskar, like, freaking initiative token is so disgusting, and I really like the shield token. So like, if you were gonna piecemeal it, like, those two are some of my favorites.
I
think action ones are really good too. I love those.
And if you play Twin Suns, the Twin Suns ones are actually insane. I just don't play Twin Suns, but, like, they're crazy. All right, and then, obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, you might follow us already, but just a little shout-out to the content that we've been doing lately. A lot of deck techs, a lot of meta-analysis, and a little how-to-win-your-PQ mental game stuff. Just a lot of stuff, you know, tournament reports. We're doing it all, so we have 6,000 subscribers on YouTube. Come follow us for weekly content, Star Wars Unlimited.
Yeah, and go... I actually recorded CAD two ways yesterday. I need to upload that to YouTube. I think that's coming out in the next couple of weeks, this week or the next week. Pretty excited to talk about, like, a more unique brand. We're talking a lot of, like, on-brand PQ stuff, but this is more, like, you know, different type of takes on decks, which is always fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, CAD came in ninth yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of people talking to me about CAD lately,
and just bubbled
actually.
Out, honestly. And the other thing I was going to say is, also, check out my personal page. I need to get to 1K views so I can start paying Symbiode.
Oh, yeah.
Or not 1K views, 1K subs. I'm in, like, the 7. So go check that out, please, if you like some more content. Booyah.
Oh, yeah. Remind me, and I'll move my slide over for next podcast.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, before we get into PQs, I wanted to shout out my store showdown that I went to yesterday. I came in fourth. There's me playing Ben in the first round. I played Ray Red. If you listen to our tournament prep podcast on Saturday, I was really high on Ray Red this weekend. It's what I would have taken if I went to the Rochester PQ for sure. I did want to call out the awesome guide that we have on our Patreon page. You know, Rodney Stubbs, we talked a lot before my event. He said, like, you don't need the making openings. My second round opponent was just dropping Seventh Fleet Defenders and Tide Phantoms on me. I ended up losing to Tarkin Yellow, which was pretty depressing. Wow. And I just wanted to talk about this one insane play I made in the final round to go 3-1. I had gotten, I was playing against Sabine ECL, and they got me to 23 life. And I'd cleared the board. I cleared the board off of, killed a red three or something. And they had one card left. They had not used ECL. I flip my Ray. I heal three down to 20. And I immediately rivals fall my own Ray. Because I just, like, had the read that the Wrecker was the last card they had in hand. And, sure enough, Bailey said that it was. And it would have got me, and I ended up winning the game because I rivals followed my own Ray. Everyone was like, what the hell was that? And I was like, please stop talking during my game, but we can talk about it later.
that's
part of wild.
Keeping the ground clear against Sabine, if you can do it, is really
important. I just used her as a free heal three and do three damage. And, you know, I only need to get to 25. I had an arc and A-Wing up in space with tokens on them. So, like, I was going to be able to win next turn no matter what. Because I had removal, so I wasn't expecting, a Bright Hope or anything. But right. So anyway, that was my experience. And then shout out to David, who, I played him at the 1K there. He was playing Kylo Red, and he got the win with Kylo Red, his Kylo Red deck that he always plays.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Disclaimer to everyone, don't remove your own leaders, but
yes.
Also don't be afraid to make winning plays.
Yeah, Winterhalter was standing behind me and he's like, what did you just do? Like, what?
I can picture his voice saying that.
I said, Are you a bad enough dude to rivals follow your own full health leader?
Yeah, man. Execute order 66.
Yeah, but my opponents had absolutely won me the game, so it was good to be vindicated there. I didn't know that I could 100% win, but
Did he not do it? Like, didn't there's a gap in the middle? Is there a reason? Like,
they were tapped out already.
He did something on the turn.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, that was my first question. Yeah,
so I don't remember
like,
the
back. It's like the next turn. I see.
Yeah, so yeah, it was the next turn. Already had initiative.
God, now I get it.
That is the beauty of like I know we're kind of being tangent boys right now, or I am, but like that is the beauty of the minor action leaders where your opponent early claims and you can do things that they don't expect, change the board state in a way that when they claimed they had a different plan in mind. I refuse to say the D word. I think it sounds so stupid, so I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say minor actions.
Okay.
What's the D word?
What's the D
word? Dirtle?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't say that word.
Nothing like it. All right. I wanted to shout out the people that shouted us out today. And with all the Sabine wins, I'm surprised that I couldn't find any. Justin, I didn't know if you know.
I know I we're getting this morning, iced but, out here. What's going on?
But Justin always gets tons of Sabine shout outs. I wanted to call out Yoda Killer and Loopy, who both top 8 of Chicago, shouting out my PQ prep video about the mental game. And then Picari Wet and Vistaris both shouting out Maddie and Wood there for the their experiences with Kira 30 point, I believe, is what Picari ran. But yeah, top 8 Vegas.
Yep. Yeah. 30 in ECL. Dude, that's the thing that's so sick about this Discord. And also Yoda Killer bought Coke the soda, guys.
Probably.
Yeah. But like that's the sick thing about this Discord is like it is such like a collaborative effort, and like, you know, getting those DMs from those guys like last night or whatever, like I love that stuff. Like, yeah, we use the deck threads, but sometimes when they need like a quick answer late at night to like bounce some things off the wall, like that's why we're there. And like all I'm doing is kind of just like facilitating their decision making and like giving them angles. Like that's all you guys, but like I'm appreciative of the love, and like I'm always down to help you guys out. Like that feels like I won, like, all those, like, I top eighted all those PQs in a way, because, like, I love seeing our guys do well. So, like, I'm just pumped for them, and I feel good.
Yeah, I mean, I completely echo that. I think everything's been great, and the Discord's great, and, it's all collaboration. It's all just people making their decisions and doing great. So, everything's cool. All right, time to start talking about PQs and the PQ winners from yesterday. There were 8, I believe, because one got postponed. But here are all the winners in their glory. I didn't change the colors on Sabine ECL for no reason at all, other than I did this at 6 in the morning to update it. But the winners were Boba Blue, Ray Tarkentown, Bosk Blue, Boba Yellow, and 3 Boba Greens, and 1 Sabine ECL, 1 Las Vegas.
Cash money.
Obviously, a lot of Boba with 5 out of 8 winning. But we did get 2 red-blue decks and a red-green deck as well.
We're definitely going through a cascade of, like, I do think Boba is a very good deck. Don't get me wrong. But it's like we've gotten to the point where I think people see it doing well and are just going to play it versus, like, not necessarily try to attack it. Although we did see a couple people attack it and go and get those wins. I'm curious what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of Boba, like we talked about in the tournament prep podcast, how Boba Green 30 especially was the big deck from last week. And what was the response? Was it going to be people jumping in, or is it going to be people playing these control decks to try to go a little better, kind of like the Super Laser Blast approach? And for whatever reason, it could be that the control decks in testing that in the gap week just didn't actually do that well against the Boba decks. But people kind of just continued to play Boba and actually played a fair share of Sabine too. So it didn't seem like it was that much of a shift. People kind of jumped in and did well. I do think there's always, like, if you have a target on your back, I think Boba's still not vulnerable, but very beatable. Like, you can see, like, the Boba Blue is its own thing. And probably went into that tournament thinking, like, you know, if I play against Boba Green, I'm going to feel pretty good about this. Same thing with the Bosk Blue. It probably felt pretty good about the Boba matchups, just like drawing 1,000 cards and just playing removal until Avenger wins the game. So I think Avenger decks are really well positioned moving forward. But we'll see. Boba continues to be the top dog for sure.
Yeah, it's like a wild game of chicken, right? Like, you also have to be good at the control matchups, and then also, like, want to opt in to possible control mirrors, which most people don't want to do because
and that's loss. That's definitely a big deal. Also, not just the double loss, but just like the navigation of it. Like, like how long the games go, when you stop resourcing, the tech games, like all that stuff opens up, which is maybe why we saw Sabine was the second most played deck, because even though, like, it has this perceived bad matchup against Boba, which I think is a little overstated, but even if you have that, people are still okay with that because they don't have to deal with all the other junk at the top end. They don't have to think about restock wars and tech angles. They can just get aggressive and win too. So kind of seemed like a simplification of the meta, I think.
Yeah. So I think that those are very difficult to navigate, and it's just, you know, we see a couple control decks that did spike here, which is like what we'd sort of expect. You know, if you can dodge the Sabine or have a good plan, like Boss Blue can have a good plan into Sabine for sure. Yep. Boba Blue can too. So yeah, I think that game of chicken is just extended. It's a little weird that most people seem to have bought, like, not flinched, right? Like, they just stayed the course, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it in a minute, but the guys who did really well in New Jersey last weekend, they went 1-2 in Swiss. They ran it back, and they played against each other in the finals of Rochester. And one thing that I think is really interesting is that if everyone is going to stay the course on Boba Green, and these guys are good and experienced Boba Green pilots, that means, like, you know, they're just experienced in those mirrors because they've got the reps and they're already proven as being good.
Yeah, we might see some teching for the mirror.
Yeah,
and just kind of being able to, like, you know, lean into that. But I mean, I think you brought up a great point. Like, the double loss is a boogeyman, and it's not necessarily on you. Like, if your opponent is playing slow and you aren't policing that, which it can be hard to do, you can find yourself in some tough situations. So I think that's that's part of why I think people aren't going late game. And then I think the Sabines are keeping people in check. Like Pocari lost to Sabine at PQ Vegas, and he was like, man, if I hit those bobas, I was doing well against them all day. Like, it just was the luck of the draw too. So there is a check and balance there as well.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so go ahead, Steve.
What's up, dude? I was just going to say, I like seeing that red ray at the PQ winner list after that was the focus of the mini pod this week.
Yeah, and that finals was streamed against Boba Green, and because there was no commentary in the stream, I streamed in the Discord and commentated on game 3, which was fun, so I jumped in there and
did it. Did you record it?
No, I didn't. It was like game 3 was already starting, and I was running upstairs to do it.
That's still fun. That's the fun part about streaming in the Discord. You can do stuff like that.
Yeah, it was great. But yeah, I agree, Steve. And like having played some Ray Red last night or yesterday, and basically all week, I spent all week testing it and really like it. It's definitely not as strong into Sabine as the blue one, but it has some game. I lost to it last week. All right. So the first one we're going to talk about is Chicago, which was streamed, and shout out to our 4 subscribers, Loopy, DZ, Yoda Killer, and Ryan Solo, for their top 8 finishes. This is one where we watched late into the night. Loopy played in the finals against Jason Hager, which Justin might remember. Steve already said he didn't remember from the Versus System days.
Oh, I do remember him.
Oh, you do? Okay, but you didn't remember that's Evil Medical School? That's enough. Like... Yeah, he invented Evil Medical School and other decks that I don't know the names of, but that one always stuck with me. Evil Medical School was such a funny deck name.
Tata said this guy's a baller. So, I mean, that's awesome to see.
Yeah, he definitely had some Chuck Norris type, like, legendary things being said about him in the chat. Like, he had never played before, which isn't true. And he got 3 hours of sleep, and that might be true. But yeah, so otherwise, though, I think we're going to see a pattern of lots of Sabine, lots of Boba, and some Han splashed in.
We had 3 out of the top 4 from the Discord. Kind of insane.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's wild.
I mean, we're closing in on 1,200 paid subscribers. Like, I don't know how many people are actually playing the game, but that's got to be a fair chunk of the competitive scene.
It's just like, it's all like people who are super active. So like, it's awesome seeing them like collaborate in
the that's true. Discord. All these guys are like, active in the sick. Discord.
Yeah, yeah, they're really active. Yesterday, like in the morning, there was like discussion about how to, for Sabine, like just like a round table of how to beat the Boba 30s. Because CJ and I played about 10 games in the morning, streamed them. And we were basically feeding the green Sabine thread. Like, all right, like red 3 is really, really important. And like Metal Ceremony can be really good. And like, Ryan was in there, like, you know, getting some intel. So pretty cool that translated to success. And I'm not saying that's like a direct correlation, but overall, like the deck threads are just really
good. It's another resource, you know.
I'm saying it's a direct correlation. The more you participate in the Discord, the better you're going to be and the better you're doing.
I mean, it's true. Like, it's true, you know, to a large degree that's a very collaborative space. Like every morning on the weekend, people are like, hey, you know, I've got an event. Here are my what are my last deck choices? Like, what do I do in this matchup? I see people playing this. I'm not ready for it. What do I do? And everyone is willing to chip in and help. There's like no cattiness and pettiness and jealousy. It's just really great how much people are collaborating.
The rising tide, baby.
Yep. Like,
if you want to be good, you want to be competitive, join the Discord.
So four Sabines in here. You know, I heard, I don't remember the exact numbers if they're posted, but just that there was a ton of Sabine still and almost very little control in Chicago. So it was all Boba and Sabine.
Yeah, I mean, long event, you know, you've talked about decision fatigue, Mike. Sabine is still, like, in my opinion, like, if not the best deck, you know, with the rise of Boba, like, green coming to the forefront, like, it's a top 2 deck. Like, it is so strong. It's potent. It gains so many more tools for the late game. Like, I really can't fault anyone for playing it. I think the biggest thing you have to, you know, and the Sabine guys know this more than me. I haven't really been playing it as much, but like, I think the biggest thing is like, don't get spooked. Like, your deck is still very good. Don't, like, you know, you don't need to do that much different. You just need to find the lines.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the winning list from Jason. I love a lot about this list. 3 enticing reward, 2 commission for the searchies. He's also got another recruit in the board. But he is full on the like low to the ground package and on the 6/7 drop package. So, and this is like that classic clean deck list that we've talked about a lot, Justin, just like all threes and three ofs and one two of. But he went three Greedo, three Crumb, three Bazine, and three Cloud Rider for the full 12 two drop plan, which isn't something that Boba does very often. But with McClunkies, cool with it makes sense. And also, you still have Enticing Reward for a turn one play, you know, and you have three Greedo, three Salacious. So you can also just go one drop and Enticing Reward, which is really sick, or one drop and commission.
I think like streamlining this build and like taking advantage of the Boba untap with all those one drop things after is like so good. So like using Cloud Rider to finish someone off and then get the untap and keep rolling, that's what makes Boba so potent. And like, I love the addition of Enticing Reward. It's a card that we've been trying to fit in a lot, but it's like, it goes to the same thing that we've been seeing with Boba and why we played Recruit in set one of like, you know, sometimes you can kind of run out of your resources. You don't have the same draw potential as, you know, some of the other decks. Like now Enticing Reward is going to go ahead and keep fueling the fire. Yeah, they're not units, but like the events are still pretty sick. If you can parlay like, you know, a Cloud Rider later into a resupply, like that seems good. And then you can get the hits, keep rolling with the seven drops.
Yeah. And my hesitation on Enticing in this list has always been that there's just so few non-units in the deck. But I think that's why he put in the commissions. You know, he's full up to the Boba's armor. So that's my one hesitation, is that there's just not that many things to grab. But if you watch the finals in game three, you know, he bountied up a Battlefield Marine and then got two overwhelming barrages and then discarded a Salacious Crumb. And we saw him in game one keep a hand with two Salacious Crumb, because he's just used, like, I think that's a big part of his fuel of, let's get this guy out, we'll ping, we'll do some damage, we'll heal, and then when Enticing Reward comes, if I have to bounty a non-unique, like I'm just pitching the Salacious Crumb, I didn't have to worry about, you know, keeping a card in hand or losing a card. So that remains my only hesitation, but it's possible that it's just so busted that you need all three. I'm a little greedier with my Boba list. Like, I want one ofs, but there's no doubt that, like, if I could build all my decks just like this and feel very happy, that I would.
I mean, the nice thing, I know that there's not like the most targets ever, but like you get the thing you want. Like, it is a tutor, you know, like that is so insane. Like, I think on a long enough timeline, if there's like a, you know, the same thing as Modern and Magic, like cards like Enticing Reward, like could potentially even be banned. I think they're just so insane. Yeah. So like,
it's, you only get to search 10 though, so it's not a full tutor. And I mean, like, I could see this whiffing two cards. And if you did it to a non-unique, and you whiff, it's actually pretty terrible.
Yeah, and I guess I'd have to look at the math.
Yeah, I'm sure someone can do the hyper geometric whatever it's
called. Yeah, I have that tool up. I use it for Chilton. I'll have to look in. That's a fair point. Seems just so insane.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Justin, Steve, on the list?
I mean, I think it's pretty clean. I like that it's clean. I will echo your regards about the Enticing Reward. I was playing that a little bit in green yellow Han, and it was pretty sweet, mostly because I was always able to get like a U-wing. But I can definitely see either whiffing or using that and just getting the commission, something like that. Like, if you're not hitting barrage or armor on a consequential turn in this list, at least it could be a little suspect.
Yeah, but the commission does help there.
Yeah, I wonder.
I like that
go ahead. Sorry.
I just like the aggressiveness of all the low drops.
Yeah, I like the curve. The curve, like, the units it has, to me, is pretty perfect. I think, like, you know, the people have played Reinforcement Walker, but I think that's, you've got the Vader and Maul's, like, kind of perfect there. I like the 12 turn one plays. I wonder if with the Enticing Reward, if he was just utilizing that, like, almost only when he didn't have Barrage. And, like, if he had Barrage, you just resource it. And this the mindset there is that you just, that this, because I don't totally see it, but maybe it's just like it gets. So if you think about seeing, you know, what do you see? 12 cards before turn five resources. And if you don't have the barrage in your first 10, you would jam it. Now, obviously, like if you have like other things to throw down, you're probably putting in the resource row. But I think it's getting margins on drawing barrage and then, you know, armor also, but like, you're not going to play that to just like get a McClunky for like, you know, it's, it, to me, like the other events,
Right. It's just playing more barrages and
more barrages, more consistency with barrage mainly. And then like the armors, it's like another thing. And then you can just resource it. I do think that like in, you know, when I looked at this and Loopy was in the finals and people were chatting in the messages about it, that he didn't have Waylay or No Good to Me Dead. And that really like Loopy should have mulliganed for like a very aggressive like wing leader type of start, yeah, or just like a broken type curve, and kind of was like really got spooked by the McClunky thing, which just is so baffling that people can possibly not play a turn one play because of McClunky like the variance there. I don't see that because like
I've been there, man. I goofed.
Yeah, I did it last week on stream. Yeah, I get it.
I don't get in your head. Two cards. To so for the people watching who want to play Sabine, like play your turn one.
You gotta make
don't make them fired. Have a two card combo. Like no, not even shots fired. Like I'm just seeing like that because if your turn one lives and you have a wing leader, like I don't know how that's GG. Wins.
Yeah,
because like they have to. They basically are taking 15 from that.
Yeah, and God forbid you do it in space on an A wing, because they can't even like super.
Yeah,
laser.
It's not like
they
if
have
it's
to
on
have
a
resupply
unit.
To catch up.
And then on a ground unit, you've got the Cloud Riders to like maybe Cloud Rider and then like Bazine and McClunky later type of thing. Or like Boba Fett maybe can kill something. But like if you go A Wing, Wing Leader here, like I don't know how this deck wins. But at the same time, you do have the McClunkies. So like there is a number of times where you're just going to have that too. So
yeah. More, I would have. I'm like looking at Sabine, like loving space starts against a lot of decks.
Yeah, I went to X-Wing in mine.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, and then I wanted to shout out Yoda Killer with his second place finish here in doing the Boba Red thing, which Boba Red kind of saw a little bit of a resurgence.
That's cool looking.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The space deck, like these space decks are just so fun to look at. Like when you see them, you're like, man, that's a cool deck.
Dude, TDR is busted, man.
It's like Bangs main.
Yeah.
Got like
this thing hummed.
Yeah, this looks sweet. Wolfie.
I like seeing some new innovations there.
I like that deck name.
Bring you in warm, bring you in cold. He didn't say that. Yeah, the Daring Raids are really cool. The Four Strokes are really cool. Just like, you know, it's all space. It's TDR. It's got the ISB agent. I mean, Yoda Killer played this because it's good against Boba Green, and that's something that Chrono was telling us too in the team chat. So I think like it's really important that people look out for ways and remember decks that beat Boba Green if they want to play against it. I don't remember what took him out. I think it was Sabine because there were so many Sabines.
I think he lost. Didn't he lose to, was it DZ on yellow or?
Oh, it's possible. It's possible. If he ran against DZ, then that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
because
I'm pretty
of all
sure
the bounce.
The cunning and bounce.
I'm 90% sure.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. That's like a really tough matchup because of the 12 bounce cards.
It's funny, like looking at Jason's deck, which is Boba, and then looking like the yellow Bobas. You have one deck that has like 9 bounce spells, and one deck that has 0. It's funny, like just how different they are with the same, you know, soon to be banned leader.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I will say, like, you could, I know you guys like the clean look of Jason's deck list, but there is a world where we make some trims and add in like waylays, and then like then your enticing is even better. But
well, I think like for open deck list too, like you top 8 and then you like have like a couple waylays in your 60,
right?
So you make people like
play around it
or like, you know, get spooked the same way they're spooked about McClunky. Like they don't wing leader because they're like, oh, if he has the waylay, I don't want to look embarrassed on stream. And then they like, you know, get blown out by it. Yeah. Or don't get blown out by it. Just not seeing like, hey, you need to just play into, you need to like lean in, you know, people are always like, so
you either got the barrier or you don't.
Yeah, right. Just do it.
Yeah. Like, just make him have it.
Make him have it.
I played a practice match this morning and I set it up so like my opponent could quote unquote could not deploy their Boba. I had 3 resources up, they had nothing on board, so I was representing the power and they just decided I don't have it. And I didn't. I still ended up winning the game, but like that was kind of tough sell of like, I guess whatever was in his hand, like, he had to make that play. And, like, sometimes people do, and you just have to make them have it.
All right, let's take a look at the Rochester PQ. So this is these are the McClunky guys. This is Titan.
Dude, Titan Phillip. Is ripped.
Dude, wait till you see him in person next week. Steve,
go next week.
Steve's like, hold on, what is going on here?
That dude's big.
Yeah, he's really big. It's so fun. I was like, Jesus, you're even bigger than your freaking Discord avatar. And then that's Crusher and Phils, the two guys who dominated the New Jersey PQ. And then I don't know Titan's lady's name, but she did give me a high five last week because when Crusher asked me what I was listening to, I told when I said what it was, she got all excited and gave me a high five. So that was pretty
Swift?
No, it was Good Luck Babe by Chapel Rowan.
Oh. I haven't heard this Chapel, but I heard they're popping off.
Yeah, she's great. Album of the summer, even though it was from last year. Anyway, this was a totally stacked top eight with these guys from McClunky Gaming. You had Ian from BN, Botha Network. You had Alex Blandon, who's been a pro in many games, is who I rode to New Jersey with. Sonny D, who he's the... he's like a former world champion at one of those games. All these guys are starting to blend together in my head, but I got like some great games with him.
Dragon Ball or something, maybe?
Oh, yeah, Dragon. He's the Dragon Ball world champ, I think. I tested against – so I was streaming in the Discord the other night and tested against him, and he gave me like a rematch too because he had like an insane draw with his Boba Green deck, triple fire spray against me. So he's really good. We had some good games, and so shout out to these guys for top eating. And then Ian and Alex, both who've been like working hard on – Boba Yellow to Han Yellow together make top four. They both have to face. It's like two. I know Alex and Ian are teammates, but they have like
they work together.
They work together a lot on the Han Yellow Discord, and they face the teammates from McClunky Gaming, and both lost and ended up being all Boba Green finals.
Yeah, that seems like a tough matchup. I actually, other than the rise of the Bobas, I thought that Han Yellow put itself in a pretty decent position in this meta, but. That's a tough matchup, for sure. Yeah, and
word on the street is they cut the Salacious Crumbs. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, actually,
the tech.
The reason why I was hoping that you guys would talk about the Yoda Killer list is because I remembered that I do have the list. I had to add it to the slideshow secretly while we were recording.
So let's see it.
Yeah, well, there's Phil, our boy Phil from the Discord in the judge's shirt.
Oh,
he sent some
Phil.
Pictures. He came to our draft. He sent all these pictures
our
in.
Draft, yeah.
Of KTOD members at the PQ, that one in the middle is Nate. He's the one that helped me get the bottle of Jaeger to CJ when I had it secretly imported from Europe.
Sick.
Yeah. So this is this crew, and then it didn't load. Hold on, boys. I'm gonna hit refresh, and now it'll.
I didn't realize he judged that. That's cool, mm-hmm. Phil. Cool.
Look at that, the magic.
Yeah, he's a nice dude.
The magic
I just
of production.
That he should do a judge article.
Okay, cool. So you'll see some wild stuff here. Yes, cut the Salacious and replace them with Kintan Intimidator. On attack, exhaust the defender. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about this behind the scenes, guys, about like the one cost exhaust. That this is essential. And like you'll see that they went up to three no good to me dead in this list because probably in concession to like tapping a Boba's armored guy. A Boba's armored Boba being so strong, so now they have essentially five in-deck, main-deck answers to our opponent slamming a Boba Fett armor, and they only ran two Boba Fett's armor, which a lot of people think is completely uncuttable.
Wild.
I mean, I wouldn't mind running two if I had a commission also, or like you did the enticing reward thing, but I guess they just thought so many people would target it and hate it. But one thing that they do, and like you can watch the games on stream. There's so between this weekend and last weekend, there's infinite games on stream to watch of these guys if you really want to dig deep. But they run it pretty aggressively, especially Crusher. Like he gets really aggro with it to the point where I'm actually surprised that they run Boba over Toro when they run it so aggro and they have Bosks.
Right.
But not a lot of bounty hunters. It looks like
other than that,
it looks like they cut the four Lom Zuckus package completely. So.
Well, like Defender and Boba's kind of cracked too, right?
I mean, I'm not one of these people who've been hating on Boba the last few months. I still think he's insane. I just think if you're leaning in on hot shots and aggro, just like maybe think about Toro. But it's obviously
another way that card is good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, I'd probably cut.
And then you can like get Bazine and Defender off your
Vader.
You're Vader, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I think it's funny. We were just talking about they have the one waylay to make people think with the two in the board. I like that.
Yeah, I love that.
When looking at Jason's deck, also didn't have Blaster, which seems interesting.
Yeah, he went full control row and no aggro row. Full
control. This is like two Vaders. I like the look of this list a lot. I mean, I don't know the impact of the 1/4. It does sort of make sense. You could tap like a, you know, there's these big leaders that come out, Sabine and Boba. So like, if you're able to tap one, just suicide him in.
He also can't be ECL'd into McClunky, right? Like, you know, we saw Loopy in game 2, I think, ECL a Salacious to cut off the McClunky play, and this can't be done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you want to make your opponent play better because it's like a really bad play to ECL.
That was my next point.
So I think you probably.
But even if it's not, even if it's not ECL into it, like you still, like if you don't have the McClunky turn one or something, like this guy does survive like against those three attack guys. So you do get to keep your guy out if you draw into the McClunky or even just like any point in the match where you
survives
to take initiative and just. Suicide him in to exhaust something like a Sabine with a Darksaber or something.
Right. I think that like Crumb's really good though, and like this is
no doubt.
Like Crumb does a lot of stuff. Like he gains the life. He can kill your own super laser tech. If the Sabines start, you know, going all space, you still have a way to kill your super laser tech. Like that's one thing. One of the reasons I went to the X Wings just is to cut the ramp in half because you're just always going like space turn one. At first we were talking about like R2s and Sabine chat about like, oh, we'll go R2 so we can't get McClunky, but then we're recognizing that that's just a little bit slow and super laser tech just like attacks into it and then ramps and it's like you're kind of left with like a 1/2 and they've got an extra resource.
Right.
So kind of like, all right, you know, we're going to go A-Wing, X-Wing, Wing Leader, Red 3. Those are the cards you want to see early. And then if they go super, they like have to have the resupply, and if they don't, like, if you look at this list, like, it's turn 4 isn't very good. A resource 4 isn't very good. Like, there's just not many plays. Like, what are you doing? Like, maybe a waylay, maybe freezing something, but that's, like, not super great. Playing another 2-drop.
Nah, they're so, hoping
like,
a ramp.
That's where you can really... You're hoping a ramp. So, like, if you're able to get that, like, Darksaber out, I mean, obviously you can get frozen, but, like, even just, like, jamming, like, a K2 at that point or something along those lines and getting a big metal turn. So I do think that this guy's really interesting, but I wouldn't necessarily just like completely say Crumb isn't good either because Crumb's pretty baller.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Keep doing I'm excited to sort of like dig in with this list and get games with you, Justin, where like you're on Sabine and I'm on this and explore ways to kind of exploit these Boba decks.
The five drop ambush guys is interesting here. I don't know if we've seen that, but that I've liked.
That's
both
old
of them.
School. Like that's set card, one style. We used to do that. Remember, Justin? Ramp like you had very early. Point. You had like a list with 9 or even 10 five drops. Yeah. But
right,
I do
like always use it for 8 mana.
Yeah. Basically, what they did is, you know, when they moved away from the 4 Lamzuckus package, just added the Bosks instead. And I don't know what really replaced 4 Lam, but you're right. Just like it doesn't have anything to do if you don't ramp. Probably things like Hot Shot Blaster to kill something, play a 2-drop or something.
Right.
Or 1-drop, 3-drop.
Yeah.
Cool. And then they moved away from the choose sides and the
sideboard.
I guess Bazine Smuggle, right? Yeah,
that's
you could
probably
do that.
What you're doing.
Yeah, Bazine Smuggle.
Because if it's like shutting down like a ECL Poe type thing.
Pretty surprised to see Change of Heart. Maybe they thought people would just be too aware of Choose Sides and move away from it. But I like Choose Sides.
I still like Choose Sides, especially, with these dangers.
Not a huge Change of Heart fan. I've never really been a huge Change of Heart fan. Cool. All right, let's... I don't have...
Yeah.
I didn't... You know, I was hoping to wake up from to a ton of information from the various Europe PQs that had no information in them and the Vegas PQ. But I did get the winning Sabine list in this form from paid
X-Wings.
Who shouted me out? Raid the Roach sent me this. He was the Vegas PQ. This is Patrick Yepjoko's list.
Oh, wow.
Old school versus pro. We had two old school versus pros win PQs this weekend, the Vegas one and the Chicago one. So the versus system, pro circuit, is back with a vengeance.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I like a lot of things that you've done, Justin, and like right down to the one Fighters for Freedom main, which I thought was
really
good.
Well, some things I haven't done, like the Crate Dragon in the sideboard.
But... yeah, I mean, I was going to get there, but cool. Only one Metal Ceremony. But this does have remnants of like what you've helped me work on for last week with like a little bit of R2s, the Fighters for Freedom, the two Timelies. But yeah, the one Daring Raid main is pretty surprising. The one Metal Ceremony is pretty surprising, but everything else, and then obviously the sideboard has a wild Go Long package with U-Wing and Crate Dragon.
Yeah, the Fang main is interesting. I see you can see the X-Wings there, so I think those probably were really big for him over the better than Pathfinder. I'm on one Fighters for Freedom right now as well. I think it's kind of like he want the extra three drop just for sort of
I ran it last week.
Body, I like it. It's really good. I like this list a lot. The only thing I don't like is really this, the one metal. Like I was at one point I was off metal and I was like, oh, you know, I think no, like it's, I've been, especially now, like if you're able to jam a 2/4 space unit, red three or A wing, mm-hmm. like so many decks have problems with that. So
yeah, that's what I've been doing with Ray essentially, is like making a 2/4 in space. And it's like, so silly how out of hand it gets.
Silly. Right.
What do you, so like he's got a lot of targets. He's got 7 targets that don't hit off 4 cause, which is a little concerning to me. I wouldn't run the Daring Raid. Like that would just be another metal for me. I would be on 3 metal and 2 Rebel Assault like we did last week.
Yep, I'm on 2 Rebel Assault.
And then what do you think about the Bright Hopes main? You like those?
I like the Adelphi better. I did a lot of testing with like which one's better into Boba. And like one thing that we found is like it's really a race, and like when Fett's Fire Spray comes out, sure, it's nice, but the most part, the race is on the ground for Boba, and you're actually the one owning space. Like, so being able to Adelphi, it's like jam it out, put a big unit out that's hard to barrage, and sort of having, like, you know, really big targets, I think is a little bit higher impact. I think I would certainly want both in my 60. I have 2 of each in my 60, so...
Yeah,
I like the emergence of Fangs. So we had like the confiscate thing for a while. I think Fangs are actually, you want 3 in your 60, which is like huge. He has 3, and the one main deck is making me think a little bit too is an interesting call, because like just the Boba decks with the armors, like just taking that off the board. If all these games are one action and Boba's armor is essentially like doing 4 damage, doing more damage with barrage,
right?
And like letting Boba live, which is causing them to do more damage. Like if you kill their Boba, there's like, it's just harder for them to, it's so much harder for them to race. Cause like so many of the games become like Boba's armor and then blasters. Like they do like 14 off of that one unit.
Yeah. And you're
a lot of their value is out of Boba because he's so overstatted. So like if you take any game where I've taken out a Boba, like, pretty efficiently, it feels like.
I mean that's why that early ECL is like so backbreaking. Like you really need to save it for Poe.
Well, that's the thing, and hopefully no one's like offended by me saying that early one's a bad play, but like I think you really have to save it unless you just like see a line. And that's like the one thing I'll say is like there are games where you want an early ECL with like, you just have to take the risk, oftentimes like on the third turn with like the Sabine turn, or like a K2, I'll take it. And like if I like double metal K2 and I haven't drawn the Poe yet. So it's like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna like, they have one unit out. I'm gonna take it off the board. You haven't ramped yet, and I'm just gonna like blast you out of the world. So I'm gonna have like a 6-something K2. I'm gonna have a 4/6, 4/7 Sabine. I'm gonna have like a red 3 that's like a, you know, those type of games I think you do wanna do it. But they hinge on metal. And then the other games you want is like get your Poe. Or Wrecker ECL and kind of like finish the game that way. Although Wrecker's like way worse against the armor. So
right, is it worth in the 60 having recruits then for Sabine?
I think it's possible, but I think what I want to test this week, and Mike, you were saying we want to get games. I want to test this like what it looks like with 3 Fangs, like just 3 Fangs against it. Because like we're saying, like you go to space and. You're able to, and like post board, you'd have like 2 or 3 copies of Bright Hope. You'd have the Adelphi. So like at that point, like what is the Boba deck actually beating down with? Because you're able to take the armors off the table,
right?
And like Boba's cool, but if I'm just able to like jam all this stuff in space and then still have my ECL up, where yeah, Poe might be getting like Bazine, but at some point, if I'm able to kill your armors, now I have Poe and Wrecker to kill your Boba. And like that to me sounds really good. So I think that's like the angle that you want to take as Sabine. Sabine is the disabling Fang fighters.
Patrick does have three in his 60. And also when you do run and three Bright Hopes. And when you do run three, you're more likely, you know, in the Boba matchup you might save it to hit the armor, but there aren't anything else to hit. But in other matchups, if you can just like strip a shield or take an experience token while you play your three drop on curve, like you're going to be more apt to do that when you have a bunch and not like get in your head about what, like, oh, maybe I need to save this for like a lightsaber or something. But and then it becomes
and great against blowout. Like great against like Bossk, obviously, like just be able to play a unit and kill a bounty and like just seems really solid. Like back, we kind of went like with the Confiscate sort of over teched in the mirror, so you could like play a three drop and a one drop and like you know, blow out the dark saber turn, but like I really like the fangs.
Nice. Cool. All right, let's see. All right, we're done with PQ talk for now because we don't have any other results. We talked about the winners of all the events, and if you're listening to this on Sunday, we'll have another meta video on Monday where you are listening to what you just listened to plus some stuff from all the Sunday PQs. All right, so we'll play a little Good, Bad, Broken with the new spoilers. I want to start with Count Dooku, Fallen Jedi. He's an 8 cost 6/6, but he's got exploit 2, which means he can come out for 4, and he's got overwhelm, but this when played trigger, it excites me, guys. For each unit you exploited while playing this card, you may deal damage to an enemy unit equal to the power of the exploited unit, which means like you could kill your 6 cost guy to play him and then, or sorry, like a 6 power guy and kill something huge with it. Like you could take out leaders with this guy.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or broken?
Good.
Matt, you think it's broken?
Yeah.
I think exploits. Exploits really good.
Exploits insane. When plays we're finding are insane, and like don't sleep on overwhelm. Like I think overwhelm is fucking
overwhelm's great.
Can you kill more than one? Can you kill more than one thing?
Yeah, exploit 2. So you get to do 2. You can kill up to 2 things. When up that number's 2. Next to exploit, tells you how many things you can kill. So
no. I mean, so let's say I exploit.
Oh, two an enemy unit. No, it'd be one.
Just one.
Can I shoot them at 2 units or just one?
No, 2. Enemy. 4 each. You may deal 2 an enemy unit equal to the power of the exploited unit. So you can do, you can shoot 2 things. Put them up. But you can't split the damage.
That's kind of
so. Like you're getting 6 damage, and you're getting 3 damage. So you could kill you could get rid of like a Greedo.
You're out of order, and you're out of order.
Like imagine doing this with like a Greedo and a Boba, and you're like doing 3 damage to 2 different guys, and then you get the flip off Greedo. Yeah, it's crazy.
I think he's great, man. I think he's Brokes.
Yeah, I think it's really, really good.
Also, you can Palps return him, you know, at that cost. Like,
yeah, that's cool.
Want to hear a really spicy play I just thought of? Ooh. Admiral Ozzel to play him ready and then kill the Ozzel. Can you do that? It's while playing. I'm pretty sure you can use other play effects like because you can use like Timely and ECL. So you could play him ready and then like shoot 2 things, clear the board, and hit for 6 and overwhelm and stuff.
Yeah, Super Laser Tech is a cool one.
I think he's got good keywords. Super Laser Tech, he's got overwhelm. Sure. He does something when you play him. It's going to be very easy to exploit him for 2.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bomb as a 4 drop, and then like still and like, good as a 6 drop.
Yep.
If you absolutely had to only exploit one, if it kills the right thing.
Like, especially imagine if it's like you have somebody that you already attacked with that's like a, you know, very liable to get killed.
Like, yeah. Imagine, and plus he's also forced, so you can Palps return him. So like you could discard him early, and imagine like
good body
exploiting, like doing this in Kylo Reanimator, right? Like exploit your Kylo, do 5 to something, have this 6/6. So just like there's all these crazy lines you can take.
Yeah,
you love killing your own leaders.
I knew that was coming. I almost said it myself. All right. Now, my girl, the card I've been waiting for. And not only did they give me one of my absolute favorite characters from the Clone Wars, my absolute favorite storyline from Star Wars, but they made her a mill card. This is so hype. I don't even know if this is broken, but she's a 4 cost 0/6 that mills cards from an opponent's deck equal half the unit's remaining HP. So she would exhaust to mill three cards off the top of their deck.
Well, but you're missing a big part here. Is that it's not her. She makes the world exhausting.
She does this to everybody. Yeah.
If she said like it was only her, like then there'd be like a clearer plan here. Now you're looking at this and you're saying like, how does this actually interface with like the different matchups? I don't know. She's not good. I'll tell you one thing. She's not good.
She's not good.
Either broken or bad. I think like it's just really weird how it works with like removal. Because like if they're killing all your units, like say they're like a heavy removal deck, and then you like slam her, and then like she lives, and then she mills six. But then like what if they have a unit out, and then they can just mill you more, like their leaders and stuff like that. But she does like accelerate these mill games. And like it just like does some weird stuff to like restocks, and like you're gonna see some weird stuff out of her.
Yeah.
But I think the key is like how does the deck that plays her keep the board clear
without power,
and also still have
like a Ray or something,
like a Satine.
I'll say this:
it just seems wild.
She's sexy AF in mono blue Ray.
Yeah, because Ray can fight. Ray can fight for the board is the thing.
I'm thinking yellow, man. Grogu, milling for three. You could do Mando R2. To like put some shields. R2, the yellow R2, the blue, the white R2, like all the R2s.
Yeah. Also, like yellow's probably Chirrut's ability on the front side to like
plus her is
mill
crazy.
Extra.
Yeah. Oh my our god, Chirrut. Yeah, Chirrut for the extra mill. That's sick too. And then obviously you can suit up Chirrut, and he could like kill a bunch of things. And when you clear the board or whatever, he can just.
I think like one of the things that I would say is like the units, like the really awkwardly statted units, like the 2/6 limited bomb sentinel card. Like, does that card get played?
Yeah, Nima Outpost.
And then like you play like her. That, right? And what's like the 1/4, the 0/4 that becomes like a 1/5. Like the Ray does seem pretty good with Ray, like the droids and just all like the early stuff. And you just like play a Satine, like you're just like trying. You play like village people. And you're just like trying to jam out all these units. Like you could play C-3PO, you could play R2, you could play all these things. And then you kind of just like go off when you play her. And then the other thing is like, how does it work with like actions too? Like if someone claims and then you play her and you,
yeah, and
mill
you just mill
30.
The, like, a bunch, yeah. late. Yeah.
I was just going to say like, this is,
she's
this
hard
is,
to
like,
play
lends
late.
Itself
she's
to dirtle.
But later in the game, she can do those minor actions,
right?
For sure.
It could be like sort of like a tech type of card. That's like,
I think people are definitely going to try to break her. It depends on like, are we going to get more things with official tagline? Like, are there going to be more Emperor Royal Guard type things? You know, where like things are protecting officials. Yeah. I would think.
Or is there going to be a card that prevents all damage for a turn, or like no one can attack this turn? You know what I mean? Yeah. Those are classic CCG staples.
Yeah.
Like something. Oh, like a fog.
Yeah, like fog, or what's the thing, the like the broken tree that like no one can attack unless they have power like less than the number of cards.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, just like any fog like effects where damage starts getting prevented more, or attacks get stopped, like, you know, you pay six mana, or like you sack your leader, opponent can't attack or something. I don't know. Who knows? But like if any damage prevention like on a mass scale comes, like that's where this, you know, like Turbo Fog, it's gonna lend itself to mill.
I would say file her away. Try her, but like it's one of those cards you're always gonna go back to every new set, I think.
Alright, then we get the boy, Yoda. 7 cost leader, but his action is free on his leader side. If a unit left play this phase, draw a card, then put a card from your hand on top or bottom of your deck. So you can start stack. Finally, we can stack the top of our deck for something like 3PO, You're My Only Hope, who knows what else. And then on his flip side, he's a 4/9, so he can mill 5 cards with Satine. Restore 2, you may discard a card from your deck if you do. Defeat an enemy non-leader unit that costs the same or less as then the discarded card. So you can just flip him, discard a Krayt Dragon, and kill any non-leader unit that costs 9 or less. So he's removal on a stick, and he stacks your deck. What the hell can we do with this?
I think he's broken, personally. I think he's insane. Now, the only thing I would say is that the game right now is not facilitating these leaders that are going longer. The tournaments are being won by Boba and Sabine, and even like when Kira was making a run 4 or 5. And you have to make a real push for the later leaders. But I think he is one of the more powerful ones. Being able to draw... So you think about, like, Palp, right, who's kind of known as, like, the best endgame leader. He really doesn't have a text before he flips. I mean, he does and he doesn't. Like, the one, like, you can ping, but, like, that's just so, like, it's not impacting every turn. This making, like, what the thing that I saw with this was, like, all right, you play him with yellow 30, and you have six waylays that mill, that cycle, that loot, because you play spare the target and waylay. So you're just like, okay, yeah, bounce that, cycle a card, put this one at the bottom, play, like, you know, cards like Luke and these bigger cards that, like, you know, like the decks, the cards that Steve's been playing in Blu-ray. Like, you play Vigilance, you can mill some, and then you just flip him and you do something broken on his turn. Like, him and Luke on the same turn is, like, kill two things.
Right.
And that's, like, a, yeah, I mean, I don't really know. And then you're restoring five. He's also, like, his stats are great. Like, he, like, can't die to Poe. Obviously, everything dies to Wrecker, but, like, you've got Village People and stuff like that. So, like, I think he's really good. You could, like, sideboard Satines or, like, longer games with, like, you do a bunch. So you also do, like, red with him. But I think, like, to me, the first thing that stood out was, like, the fact that he makes all your removal, like, so open fire loot that now cycles is, like, a loot seems insane.
So, it makes me think of, like, if this were a villain, it would be the absolute most broken automatic best card ever printed, because, like, think about all the mono blue decks you've been working on, Justin. It's just, like, all removal, and, like, you're just digging to the piece of removal you need, or you can dig past things that you no longer need. So all that's great. That's, like, the only thing holding it back from being the ultimate hero control card is there's just not enough removal.
There's just not enough, like, in-game stuff, right?
Right. But, you know, as more sets come out and we can truly build a full hero control deck, like, this is just going to be more busted. Like, we can already run for Takedown, Vanquish, Rivals, and Fell the Dragon. So, like, we're getting there. It's just
getting hero really the,
like, Lex early.
Yeah, you don't have the, you know, you don't have Barrage, you don't have Power of the Dark Side, you know, you don't have Super Laser Blast. So until, like, it gets a little more evened out, I mean, you did get that new, like, -4 if they played it this turn. Like, they're getting some stuff.
Am I thinking of a different
one? It's like
one.
An Obi-Wan quote. It's like,
yeah, the minus
three
four
mana.
Guy
gets 4/4. Like, yeah. Anyway, so, like, they're getting more stuff. So he's definitely, like, getting closer. But I agree. I think, like, it's a card you're gonna go to, like, in every set. You're gonna try to get it to work. So I hope, because it's so sick, I hope it works right away, but it might be, like, set 4 or 5 it finally gets unlocked. But it's one of those leaders you're going to always go back to. That ability is just too good.
Like, there's like the combo side of him that's kind of cool with, like,
you're my only hope and stuff.
Only hope with, like, endless legions, or even just, like, playing, like, a Devastator or something along those lines,
just get a little crazy. I think he's going to be really fun to try to break. I'm sure someone will be able to.
Yeah, I love You're My Only Hope. So
yeah, he can go combo-y or value. Like, that seems sick.
Yeah.
Not that even going huge, super huge with You're My Only Hope, but just think about getting, because what is that? You can get out, say, Poe.
Poe, yeah.
On turn 3. Is that right?
It's basically it's 5 less. So on 3, like, when you...
On turn 2.
On turn 2, you can play a 5. 3 resources. And on 5, you can play a 7. So, like, that's the big one that, like, when I played Casino Han, it's, like, 5. Like, pay on the 5 resource turn, you get a 7, which can be really busted. But, yeah.
Yeah, I think that... Right, Steve, I think that's the good call there. Like, being able to play a 5 on turn 2 or, like, a 7 on turn 4.
It just seems like an automatic 3 of a Yoda, right? Like, you draw one.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
You can just hold the... You can just, like... You can have it in your hand and put it back.
If it doesn't work, you just get rid of it. Yeah, it just makes something -2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's the other... Yeah.
Hero ramp.
The other big thing I think that we didn't mention about with this... with his game text is he really facilitates you playing 1 and 2x of cards as opposed to playing 3x of everything.
That's a good
point. So now, like, where you were saying earlier, Mike, where you want to be a little bit greedier in your Boba by playing 1x of stuff, like, you can play 1x of cards in this guy and find them, no problem.
Yep. Yeah, I love that. All right, next one, Unlimited Power. It's a double red 6-cost event that deals 4 damage to a unit, 3 damage to a second unit, 2 damage to a third unit, and 1 damage to a fourth unit. All damage is dealt simultaneously. It's a legendary. Is this good, bad, or broken?
Bad.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't seen these cards be that good.
Force Lightning, I thought it was going to be good too. And it was,
yeah. This also has to hit your unit.
I think Force Lightning gets better next set though, because there's going to be so many more villain Force users. But that said, I think it's such
a how does this work? You have to have four units. You have to
You have to target up to four units. You it doesn't say up to. So if there are four units on table, you have to hit them. And if some of them are yours, you have to hit them. But if there are only two units on table, you do as much as you can. So you would just do the four.
You can't target the same unit twice.
No, because it says a second unit, a third unit, and a fourth unit.
Yeah, this is me.
Yeah, another bad legendary for the stack.
Yeah, I think it's bad.
Feels like it's a Twin Suns card.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a total Twin Suns card, and could be a cool cube card though, Steve.
Yeah, could be cool for the cube.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Different bombing run.
All right, Grievous's wheel bike. Talk about making new Boba's armors. This is a 4 cost +3/+3, give unit overwhelm. It's going to be non-vehicle, but if you play it on Grievous, it only costs 2. So it is his Boba's armor that gives him +3/+3 and overwhelm. And you have the leader Grievous and, of course, the 4/4 3 drop.
Like in a 7/7.
That makes it a 7/7 overwhelm. Right.
I think it's good.
I mean,
depends on how Grievous is, but
counterintuitive considering you're trying to throw lightsabers on that guy.
I would say it's probably mostly everything for the leader, but it still has some value. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing these upgrades being very powerful. Boba's armor and Darksaber are two of the most powerful cards. Darksaber might as well just be called Sabine's lightsaber. So we'll see. I think the problem is that Grievous hasn't necessarily moved me too much, hasn't moved my lightsaber all that much, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think there's a world where Grievous is decent, and if so, then maybe this. But he also comes out on 7, so
it just feels
it's a little slow.
Thing.
But I'll say
he's gonna already have comboed off by that point with Sabine's. You're gonna be milled all your lightsabers.
All right, and then I made this the other day, but I think we actually have even more now than 100, 1177. I can check in a minute, but we do listener questions from our Patreon subscribers every week, and Tragic Comedy is asking, what is the etiquette for keeping a cheat sheet on hand for sideboard choices based on opponents? I'm new to TCGs and will mainly be playing local regional stuff at most, but I don't want to offend my opponent by looking at a reference. Optimally, I'll keep grinding it comfortable enough without it, but I'm about a month into playing, I could use the crutch. And I'll just say right off the bat that you cannot look at any notes from previous matches or before the event, before that round, when you sit down. So any notes you want to consult, you should do so beforehand. In between rounds as a refresher. But once you're at the table and see your opponent's list, you can't consult any notes.
And this is different for between games. So the question of the etiquette, you decide you should talk to the judges or learn the tournament rules, because for instance in Magic you can, and then other games that are single games you can't. So there's all different rules. You just want to make sure you sort of understand them, and they can be intimidating at first, but once you kind of just ask those questions and talk to the person who's running the tournament, which is oftentimes the head judge, be like, hey, can I, what's the story with sideboarding? And they'll tell you what you can and can't do.
Mm-hmm. We're at 1180.
Cool.
By the way.
And then I before my PQ last weekend, I wrote out notes on my phone, in the car. And then I just sort of looked at them a little bit beforehand, and even just writing them out helped me. But once the tournament started, I kind of didn't think about them at all and just went from the gut.
Sometimes writing it out is a form of memorization, even if you don't have to check it, you know?
Yeah. Study tactic.
When I used to do, when I was studying for law school, I would say things out loud, write them down, think about them, and just that. And I wouldn't even sometimes consult those notes again, but the fact that you're writing it is a new way to commit it to memory.
Yeah.
So
cool. Next one from Eagle One, one of our locals. I've seen a lot of videos from you guys and other top players to have goals. Also, there's a lot of talk about teams. So I'm wondering if you were to advise someone starting out at the serious competitive level, what do you look for in a team and what kinds of goals are you setting for matchups? I know a lot is getting reps and knowing the lines, but if you're coaching your kids, I know that Eagle One has been coaching his kids up. He brought his kid to the showdown yesterday. What are some progressive goals would you suggest?
I was actually thinking about yesterday.
Go ahead, Steve.
Go on, Steve, though. No, you go, because no, my kid's crying. It's kind of distracting.
My standpoint, like, what I look for in a team is if I've known you for 20 years or not. It's not DTFOH.
No new friends.
No new friends.
I think, like, things for goals is, like, you don't, in my opinion, like, I don't like to tie goals to results. Like, I want the process to lead to the results. So, like, for me, you know, like, one goal that I'm going to have for next week's PQ is, like, staying in my process and, like, towards the, like, just, like, being a little crisper in the later round. So, really, like, considering my opponent's plays as I start to experience decision fatigue, even though that's, like, kind of compounding in a way, but, like, just taking the extra time in the later rounds to make sure that I'm playing a little tighter. I think that would be, like, one for me personally. So try to tie them to things that you can go back and look at, and not, like, my goal is to win, you know what I mean, because that's not going to give you, like, good feedback.
Yeah, in terms of the internal, like, testing goals, like, what we want to do, we want to have just open-mindedness. I think that's, like, a really important component of a team, to basically say, like, all right, let's always vet, like, ideas, unless they're just too off the wall. But also, like, just be, like, you know, something that I think you want to do is, like, not hold on to things, like, try to figure things out. But if your ideas are proven wrong, you want to say, like, admit to that and say, like, yeah, this is rough. Like, in our tournament team, I recently posted, like, hey, this Sabine into Boba matchup, this is a tricky one. Like, this isn't easy. Like, we kind of thought it was a little easier than it was, and it's actually, like, we're up against it. We're a dog in this one, and, like, what can we do to maybe improve it to a point where we feel comfortable with it? And then in terms of, like, tournament goals, like, performance goals, those evolve, because oftentimes you want to do well at an event. As you get more experienced, you want to top eight, and then once you start top eighting, you want to, like, get to the top eight, and you want to win. Like, Steve and I, when we played Star Wars CG recently a lot, it was like the goal was always to make Sunday, which is top eight in that game. And then you'd make it and you'd have dinner on Saturday night, and you'd have, like, an hour of, like, really enjoy. You'd have once a year for an hour, you'd actually enjoy the game, because you would have had that exhilaration of, like, yeah, we top eighted. That's great. And then for Star Wars CCG, you can actually change decks for Sunday. So then you'd have this awful window where your, like, mind is going, you're thinking, what if we did this? What if we played this? What if we play this? And you'd go to bed at, like, 3 a.m.
Yeah, you're looking at all the future timelines. Like, terrible. Doctor Strange.
Exactly. So, yeah. But then once you get to the next day, if you've got experience and you've won, you know, tournaments before, if you've got one of these bad boys,
obelisk.
You're looking at it. Very, very heavy. You're saying, I want to win, and you're disappointed if you were to come in second and stuff, right, like that. So there is a context there about how your own progression. So, like, you might go to a showdown and be hyped to top cut, and then you might win that showdown, you're hyped to do that. Then you go to a PQ and you're hyped to top eight that, and then you win. Like, those two guys in Rochester, like, they've been won back to back. Like, would they be happy coming in ninth at the next one? Probably not. Whereas someone else who comes in ninth, who maybe just started playing, who's talked in our Discord, I think we had Maddie, you were helping someone who came in 12th. It's like, that's awesome. Like, they're new to it, and they're, like, capping in.
First event.
Yeah.
Kind of insane.
It's just different expectations.
Yeah. I want to echo Matt's point about process-oriented goals, and just some of the process-oriented goals I think about when I'm testing are, like, did I play a clean game? Did I correctly predict what my opponent was going to do, or did I get blindsided? And did I work my way out of a situation that I knew I could, or did I flub it up and screw up my sequencing? So, all right. Do you guys ever feel worn down or unmotivated due to negative comments or criticisms received on content you create and put online? I was recently posted on YouTube in a local Showdown Finals match where I played admittedly not the best, but the comments were brutal, and as a brand new TCG player, it made me feel like throwing my cards in the garbage. Do you ever feel that way, and how do you deal with negative energy? Appreciate all the help I've received in the Discord. I want to just, like, right
Steve
off the bat.
You should take this one.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
I can take. Bro, if you ain't doing it right until you have haters. Once the haters start coming out, it's all gravy, baby.
I had a really interesting conversation with Blandon at the PQ, and he's like, I basically think anyone who doesn't go on stream, like, refuses stream is a cheater. And I was like, wow, that is a very limited perspective here, because, like, people are ruthless, and you like people, like, you screw up and people think you cheated. You know, like someone was playing on stream with, like, you could tell that one of their black sleeves was a different color black sleeve, and everyone's like, cheater, cheater. It's like, guys, there's no way. Like, that's not what people's baseline thing is to do. But because it was on stream, that's just what everyone wants to jump to because of shame culture and cancel culture and all that. So, like,
yeah,
I don't fault anyone for not wanting to play. And, like, geez, me and Steve's video, like, Steve, we played our match for the last King of the Hill probably in like 20 minutes. It was 95 degrees in my office. We both had no shirts on. And, like, I guess I missed Lethal. And Jesus, all the comments about me missing Lethal on a, like, our fun, chill, hang card game. But everyone, because we're competitive, everyone wants everything to be so sweaty. And it was sweaty, just not in the way they wanted.
It was hella sweaty, bro.
Point out things, but, like, people just take it another direction, like, and sometimes these streams, like, these aren't official streams, like, some of these streams, no offense, are like bootleg AF in a super distraction in trying to actually play a competitive game. So, like, Blandon, miss me with that one, buddy, but I appreciate some of the other stuff you're doing.
Yeah,
I think just in terms of the comments, like, the answer is just block it out. Like, anyone who has success, you can't lean into it. You think about, like, professional sports, like, everyone always on LeBron, and it's like, okay, do you think he's reading all these comments? You know what I mean? Like, everyone, especially now that he's playing with his son, people are, like, hating on him even more. And it's like, you're playing in the NBA with your son. Like, you're
having the time of your life.
Certainly the GOAT. Where's Jordan's son, you know, dating Scottie Pippen's wife or whatever. But, you know, which is, I guess, a win in its own right.
Yeah.
But which one's actually more impressive? I don't know. But I think, like, you know, in content, when you have these things, just do the best you can. In playing, do the best you can. And let the chips fall where they may. Yeah. When I was, you know, was a head basketball coach a few years ago at the high school level, and we had a really good team, and there was just all this commentary, like, oh, he should have done this, he should have subbed this guy, he should have played this unit, he should have pressed, he should have did this. And you listen to it and you just say, you don't really understand the context of everything, because everyone else can be a Monday morning quarterback.
And exactly.
You're the one who's in there in the mix in that time. So I wouldn't worry about the comments.
Yeah. But even all. Nick and everyone in Nick's position of, like, you're just playing on stream, like, you're in our community. Even if you're not in our community, you want to feel better about yourself, like, just DM me. I'll tell you, like, you're doing great. Like, there's no, like, do not listen to people criticizing you from their parents' basement at home because you messed up in a card game. Like, you're doing great in your life.
We all make mistakes, dude.
I was in my parents' basement a week ago.
You're doing a lot better than Steve, and everything is going to be great. So, especially if you're not in the content realm, don't let people knock you down.
Yeah, dude.
Just don't let people do it. And don't throw your cards in the garbage.
If they're not in the Coliseum, get the hell out. But the other thing is, like, those things used to bother me a little bit more when we were, like, just coming up, you know, January. But, like, now, in terms of being a content creator, like, dude, like,
we have
so
many
cool people in here that, like, it's so easy to let the noise fall away.
But also, like, if people are watching videos, there's just going to always be someone who wants to just a little sour who's had a bad day. It's like, you know, driving in traffic. Like, would you, sometimes the comments similar to traffic, like, would you actually do this in a real setting, or would you do this on the safe place of the internet, in the safe place from your car where you can honk at someone and flip them off? But
and people
you're
just
not
going to
really do that in real life.
No matter what. Like, teenagers call me a cishet. Like, yeah, I am. You don't watch YouTube?
I also never watched YouTube. Yeah, that is. And the one time I looked at the comments was the one video where my stomach's hanging out. The entire thing. So I was like, oh, let me watch this video to see how bad my stomach actually was. And then I was like, oh, look at this comment. Then it's just like a wall. And I'm like, oh my God, what the is wrong with people?
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, well.
But then on the flip side of that, every once in a while, you do get, like, the boys. Like, I will say some of the people from the Discord have chimed in.
And oh, that's
a
great
lot of, like, positive things to, like, counteract, counterbalance
great
that.
Point. Great point.
And that's always.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
tarps off, baby.
Yeah, tarps off. DM us. Let us, like, ping. If people are being shitty, we'll make you feel better. And we won't pile on with the shittiness. All right, well, the boys had a hard out at 8 a.m. And we did it. It's 8 a.m. Just struck 8. So we're going to call it there. Check out our content this week for more meta analysis. And check us next week when me and Maddie head to the PQ at Flipside Gaming in Clifton Park, New York.
Good pod, boys. Everyone, see you next week.
Deuces.
Peace. Deuces.